What is leadership? Or what comes to mind when you think of leadership?
Listening.
Okay. Yeah. Now that's a good leadership still. Yeah.
Understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, absolutely. That's an essential part of leadership.
Corporate hierarchy.
I also think figurehead. Like, I know everyone gives some positive things, but I often think figurehead.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
You want someone that's knowledgeable, so you want, you know, somebody that I don't want to use the word educated because I think it's very it's selective, but it's not. You want someone that's well versed and
good social skills.
Because
some people don't have good social skills. Yeah. I feel like you all have had much better leaders than I have.
No, I did not think of positive qualities all of the time.
I have had very bad leaders, and that's why I have so many opinions about what makes a good leader.
Okay.
I'm just thinking I worked at Wendy's for once, and this is my image when I think of micromanagement, which is we're in a drive-thru, need to get the burger done, I'm on the grill, and the manager comes up behind me and grabs my hand to help, I don't know, push it down to make it cook faster, because that works.
We're increasing the surface area.
Yes.
Not a micromanager.
Yeah, definitely.
That sounded like micromanaging.
Yeah.
Well, yes, you have good leaders and bad leaders.
Is there somebody online?
Yeah,
Kelly, she said morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Hi, Kelly.
I was saying, I think that leadership calls for you to know what you're working with. Know how to use the tools properly.
Yeah.
That you're equipped with, be it for things that you're for yourself or the people that are around you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, somebody that can get in the trenches and do your job if they had to. That's where I kept talking.
I really don't
know. What?
Y'all are so positive about this. I've
had both good and bad leaders.
But I think it's important for a leader to listen to their employees, congregants.
Empathy.
Yeah, and and creating a positive environment, learning from those experiences of people who say, "Hey, there are some people here that are not nice to me," and work and taking that into consideration and being like, "What is wrong, and how can I help you?"
Yeah, absolutely. Clara and then Katie, and then we're number one.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'll wait until you guys are done. I wanted just to add one more thing.
Okay.
So I read this recently, a certain person who likes cars and spaceships, who will remain unnamed. Somebody who worked for him said there was like an entire company culture of managing him as a leader. Making him
babysitting?
Yeah, babysitting, guiding his decisions in the right way because he had very bad ideas. Mm. So trying to make him think that this is what should be done and that he thought of it. Which I've also encountered that sort of thing before.
Okay, two more. Kelly, yours and then Katie.
Me, Kelly?
Kelly, current.
Okay. I don't know. I just think of the quote from Uncle Ben about great power comes great responsibility.
I think
leaders always have the power to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think of our current leaders in America, and I think either power hungry or inept. That's what I feel like
or both.
I feel like everyone's talking about what they would want in a leader. But I feel like what I've seen in the world today is not that. I have not seen the quality, in leaders or at, maybe individual leaders once in a while.
Yeah.
But, when I see leadership, especially, I think of people who are in charge of our country or in charge of their states or whatever, and I'm talking about both Democrats and Republicans here, they are either power hungry or completely inept.
Narcissistic.
Yeah, narcissistic. But I just, and I think that's an important thing to, like, we have our ideals about leadership, but, like, we don't see good leaders in the news very often.
I read a whole book called Why Do So Many Mediocre Men Become Leaders?
What was their answer?
We reward white maleness.
That's true.
Oh, we reward. I thought you said we were bored.
I mean, attractive, but
do not let the white men get bored.
Okay, I'm going to move on. Maybe.
Hold on.
Okay. Am I on the way? Hopefully.
They're not going.
I'm
yeah, yeah,
say.
Okay. Yeah, so,
okay.
Slightly different topic, but leadership in action. So, I think most people know, and many participated, we had two things this weekend where, as a church, we kind of experienced and participated in leadership in action. The first was Friday night where Bridge had its gala. A lot of people came and gave speeches, but basically, for those who don't know, Bridge is an organization that helps, justice and just kind of pushes change towards more equality. Their current issues are youth, water equity, and housing. And so we got to kind of help and participate. Katie gave a speech, that picture from her doing the speech on, we need your money! I mean,
yeah.
Well, it
was a call to action.
Need our money.
It was a call to action, yeah.
It's a call to action.
Give me your money.
And, that was
not. Kelly, over right by you is Luke's award. So we also got to honor Luke. We received I think it's called a Champion of Justice Award.
Yeah, Champion of Justice.
So we honored Luke, which is really great. It was a really important, I will say that moment, it was congregations got to nominate up to two people. And it's a really important moment, I would say, because in churches, a lot of times you have a lot of people who work really hard for no recognition. And some of these people were in their 70s and they had never received anything in their life before.
Oh,
so that moment of saying, we see you and we see the work you're doing and we want to reward you. And that is very much how I felt about Luke and why I wanted Luke to receive this award, because I know that he does a lot of stuff that maybe you don't see behind the scenes. His prayer heart is really big. And, he shows up. And I think that's a huge part of what we need in this world, is people who show up. So that's
why
they
don't do homework, but they do show up.
Yeah. but I did want to really highlight that, because, we didn't get to talk about Luke at the Gala. So there you go. All right, I think we're officially starting.
A bunch of us, seven of us from the church showed up at the No Things event, just two or three blocks that way, at the Glen Burnie Town Center. And so I captured some of the people there, as well as people from our church. So thank you everybody who came out for that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
me too. So I think Katie kind of touched on this, and I think everybody kind of touched on this a little bit, but what do you think of when you hear the word power in relation to leadership? Because this is, we are in the series on power.
Bad!
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 That is the first thing that comes to my mind. What'd you say?
Misused.
Misused, yeah. Often.
Palpatine.
They Lulu.
They what?
A little bit crazy.
Do you know
what
the Lulu is?
Oh,
no. Delusion.
How about in charge? Someone that he's in charge and he knows what he's doing. There is.
Yeah.
There are some positives in our leadership, not maybe today's leadership.
Yeah.
But just because you're a leader, I mean, I'm not automatically assuming that you're an evil person, Katie.
That's nice.
You know? I mean, I'm just saying leadership leadership and bad does not have to be synonymous.
I know, but I was just playing devil's advocate because everyone was like, here's an amazing leader qualities. And I was like, wow, I've seen some bad leaders.
We're speaking tyrannical. So.
Yeah.
So I feel like leadership is not just misused, but often it's complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's really complicated,
mm-hmm.
and it's messy sometimes. So, I mean, it's not the best, it's not the brightest job ever,
right,
most of the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes you take that for granted. Well,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah,
I agree with that. I was
somebody has to do the messy job.
Yeah, well, I was talking to my I was just talking to my mom the other day about how presidents age. You know, like I think Obama is one of the clearest you can really see, like when he was elected versus when he left, and like the I mean everybody ages, but like his is just so drastic.
Obama still looks good.
He still looks older, Jenna. Even if he looks... I'm not saying he doesn't... I didn't say he looked... Do not equate old with looking bad. That's not the same thing. And my mom was like, yeah, all of them age. Like, and I think it's one of the good things about it only being a two-year term, because I think it would kill everybody. Look, you know, that stress.
Yeah.
That's a good one. It's stressful.
Yeah, but like I feel like we have very few, because of sin, we have very few examples in the real world of good leaders.
Yeah.
I can think of plenty of good fictional leaders. but like it's hard for me to think of outside of maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to think of someone who I was like, all leaders are flawed. I've had a good pastor before, the good leader there.
Yeah.
But I can't really think of, what's the word I want? Bigger, influential leaders who I was like, I think you are great. I mean, I like Zelensky.
Yeah. It's just one of those things of people in leadership are human. And while it might not be an absolute, there's a reason we have the the meme, whatever you want to call it, of power corrupts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, be one step further of absolute power corrupts absolutely. But, but when we're talking about power, and I think Katie mentioned this quote the past 2 weeks, power is just the ability to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about power in relation to leadership, it is the ability to do from a leadership standpoint. And here's the scary thing. Like or not, you have leadership and the power that comes with it. Don't get corrupted. No. but I just want to take a moment. Maybe we need to expand on this a little bit more. But you have influence. There are people around you that will listen to what you say. Whether or not, you know, we often equate power and leadership to the authority people have over people, which is one of the ways that we do think of leadership. But I don't know if you've ever seen the breakdown of between a boss and a leader.
Mm.
Boss is the person who's basically telling people what to do from a place of authority, whereas a leader is often somebody on the ground leading the way. A person in front.
Yep.
Amen. Or just a person who can get people motivated to move in a direction. And the truth is, everybody here has people that they can speak into, that they do speak into, that you have power and influence over their lives. And it's not always an unequal thing. It's often mutual. Like, most relationships are mutual influence. So just take a moment to listen to people. Thank you. You do not have to share, but just I'm looking for three examples, one from each person. Yeah.
Workplace, so my interactions with students, I think they do look up to me.
Yeah.
And like on Friday I had Katie's kids for 30 minutes, and I'm like, you have to be patient. We need to work on patience.
Yeah.
And they're not very, they're like, I don't want to work on patience.
Nobody wants to work on patience.
But like that is something that they will need to learn in order to be successful human beings.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Jenna. Anybody else? Micah?
I said here.
Yeah. Yes. You do, yeah, and I actually have that. That's my next slide. Of, you know, in case you didn't know, each of you have influence in the church because you're here and we listen to each other. Yeah, but
I also said for me, I also said family.
Yeah,
that's one we don't always think of when, especially. as everyone's all adults, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, now that is a real bad.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah.
Kelly Curry has her hand up.
Yes, Kelly. Thank you.
I was thinking of it, because I know it's all going to be, like, lead to Jesus being it. Jesus, but I had thought about Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On the ground, like...
Yeah.
He was among the people. I feel like relatives... He made it... It was something that was relative to him, and he felt strongly about it, and because he was actually living it, he was able to speak to it. And, you know, he was able to empower other people.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that he's a good example of a good leader.
Yeah, no, like the ability to lift other people up and empower them, not only just,
Well, and also, you'll have to forgive me because I'm drawing a blank on names, but there were other people who came before Martin Luther King who were, what shall I say, like, kind of almost expected, but they wanted someone new to be the president, right? And so those other people were like, no, we think it's best if we have fresh blood, like, and that's important too about leadership,
yeah.
Is stepping down and, like, allow, because, like,
yeah.
The reality is that leaders come with baggage, and, people do try their best, but sometimes you have to step down because you're like, you know, they know too much about me, or this.
Well, or just they're like, times change, and, like, I don't, like, there's not a reason to, but it kind of is, like, just, if you've been doing something for 10 or 20 years, you kind of can easily get into a rut, no matter what you're doing, and you're just gonna fall into old habits where fresh blood, oh, you're gonna get tired, like, you're just gonna get tired, and, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to say, like, there are just some people who hold, you see it in the government, that hold on to the power.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
There's a senator that's, like, 95 years old.
Yeah,
he's ancient.
Yeah, yeah.
Term limits.
He's
yeah.
ancient.
And,
I think that power should be shared.
Mm-hmm.
Power should be shared, and a part of, like, the passing on of power isn't just letting go and then hoping somebody else can do it. It's actually building leaders, you know, basically... You know, mentoring
yeah.
and, you know, training somebody so they can take your place, not just, oh, I'm done, you guys pick up the pieces. Just, that's awful for everybody, too. any last thoughts before moving on? Because I think we get a little bit.
I was
going to
say, like, I've been thinking about this a lot lately.
Yeah.
When you're a parent,
yeah.
your power as a parent, like, good and bad. Because, you know.
Yeah.
You can just have a negative effect on that. Mm-hmm. So, it's like, I've been trying to, like, teach Aaron, you know, at least specifically, boundaries. Like, don't worry about your little sister, like, leave her alone, and whatever, but it's just like, oh my god, so.
Yeah.
I also, I don't want them to feel like, oh, all mom does is just scream and yell, but it's like, with your position of power in parenting, it's such, you have to set up those boundaries, you have to correct them,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
that's it. So,
yeah. I'm just thinking, like, I have a couple nieces and nephews, but, like, I remember the hardest thing is putting away the toys, because it's like, I can do this in less than a minute, and no, I have to be a good uncle, and by teaching you, it's going to take forever.
Yes.
That was my biggest thing recently. Everyone was like, oh, like, get Lainey to pick up her toys. Okay, she knows how to pick up her toys. I'm going to sit here and wait 5 hours while she's picking up her toys.
Uh-huh.
She's
uh-huh.
so cute. Yes, that reminds me of my favorite African proverb, and honestly, I saw it on a calendar that just said African proverb. I know Africa's not a monolith, but I don't know what country it's from. But it's like, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorites, because I have a lot of those moments of, just let me do it if you done.
but again, you know, when you're talking about training people up, you know, there's that, now I have to figure out, you know, I already know how to walk, how do I teach somebody else how to do this? Like, sorry, do you want to add something?
I was.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, sorry, I was.
I was going to just say you have influences. Everyone has an influence in friendships.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But sometimes you got to keep foot on the neck. Metaphorically speaking.
Yeah.
That was from the rally yesterday.
Okay. And what's the Bible now? Jesus kind of giving us a little advice as far as leadership goes. There's two similar stories. One happens. Matthew. One happens in Matthew.
Oh no!
No, it's fine. Kelly's still here.
Yeah. So anyway, one of them takes place in Matthew and takes place basically right after the two brothers, James and John. Their mother asked for, "Hey, can you get my son's position at your one at your left, one at your right?" And
bless mothers.
When we see this dispute also arose among them, which Luke has it happening at the Last Supper, but that might kind of be what we're talking about here. Lee, would you mind reading the first part?
Okay. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves."
And then, Jennifer, can you...
Yeah. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you and as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Okay. I want to take a few minutes and just underline or circle things that stand out at you in this passage, and then we're going to kind of talk about what are kind of the worldly leadership they're talking about, and the, and we kind of already talked a little bit about this, but worldly leadership versus godly kingdom leadership. Let's start with worldly leadership. What is the passage? I feel like we talked a lot about it earlier, but what is the passage we're going to really talk about?
Narcissistic men and women.
Yes.
It definitely includes that, yeah.
Emphasis on white men.
Okay, well, what passage?
I mean, you're reading a lot into
that. If we're looking for what does the text say, I tell my children, what does the text say? Not what is your opinion, what does the text say? So lording it over.
Okay. I didn't know this related to the text.
Really for the text.
I'll be quiet.
Okay. Anybody else?
Very true. Very true. Yes. Benefactors.
Benefactors. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Because usually you think benefactors being a good thing. But in here, it's like, okay.
That others exist to serve them.
Yeah.
Well, especially in the culture of the time, benefactors were like, so, you know, it used to be like, let's say that I was super rich and Jenna was an artist and I was her benefactor.
Right.
Jenna had to do whatever I asked her to do. That's why the parent, like, we say benefactor, but really it was oh, you're good at art? Well, I'm going to pay you, but you only have to make art that pleases me.
Right.
Like
a commission.
I'm not doing that.
And then you don't get paid.
I am not an artist. Lord it over them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely a lot of,
I think we see that a lot in workplaces. Like the whole mentality of you just have to do it. Like I've had jobs like that. I'm sure a lot of you have had jobs like that where someone coming
at me directly.
What? Oh, Luke looked at you.
No,
you've been in there.
Yeah. Like where they just tell you what to do, but they don't do it. You know, they say what is the do what I say, not what I do?
Yeah, that's me.
That's not good.
No, I'm not like that. A hypocrite, but I do whatever people tell me.
Everybody's
a
hypocrite.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Jennifer.
Oh, that's not what we're talking about. Isn't it them against us? I mean, Jesus is referring to the Gentiles and their culture, and he's talking about us. You know.
He does kind of make a distinction between Gentiles lording over them, but.
You are not to be like that. Really, I would say not just like it's the world versus who we are called.
Yeah, isn't the world the Gentiles though?
At this time, yes.
I would not to like dispute you, but I would say if there was a them against us, it would be servers versus people on the team.
Class warfare. It is interesting that he talks about he doesn't even dispute it. He's like. For who is greater, the one at the table or the one who curved?
Yeah,
is it not
the
one at the table?
Yeah,
he's definitely pointing out what the normal is, and definitely like a hierarchy type thing.
The phrase about the benefactors, they call themselves benefactors. So it's all like they're giving themselves that. Not somebody else gave it to you. Not that it's natural. You're assigning it to yourself.
They're not calling themselves the tax master. They're calling themselves the, I'm benefiting you. Yeah.
Well, I also just think of it as it's like if you have to tell people you're smart, you're not. Like, if you have to tell people you're really good at something, you're probably not. Like, oh, I'm really good at that.
I'm a very stable genius. It's kind of like how we do this campaign where it's like we want to assign a leader, but it's like you gave us only two choices and neither of them are great. And like just because we chose one over the other doesn't mean that we really like you or we really think you're a good leader. It's just that unfortunately... one of the two options that we have.
Or sometimes in local elections, they're the only option.
Right.
And you're like, wow. But I do also, like, I think it's interesting verse 30 when it talks about judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Because there's definitely power associated even with the serving. Like, you are supposed to do this, but you're also going to be sitting, like, in judgment. I think, I forget what book it's in, but it talks about how Paul mentions that, like, we will judge angels, and like that just terrifies me. I have an anxiety disorder. That is not.
Remember our whole thing about the. Remember when you had to teach me about angels?
Yeah. So anyway, but there is still authority there and
can
power
there.
Can I
ask another question about the Nephilim?
You can ask whatever you want on a note card. Not now. But anyway, so I also think that's important because we do always highlight like serving. But he also talks about judging. And sitting on thrones.
But he's also...
why did God create the earth in 7 days?
There's a postcard for that right there.
You missed it. Next month, the entire sermon series is
questions
that people have asked.
My birth
month.
Well, this is... about just the people at the table right now. And they are going to be the leaders that go out. And so I think he has to make sure that it's clear to them what's expected of them at this point.
And
that Jesus is already the leader here. He's not, trying to...
Yeah, absolutely.
But he is a servant leader.
Yes.
I think you have to be a servant to be a leader.
It
would be better for everyone if you were.
I just think that's between
good
leader,
boss,
bad leader.
Boss
leader
dynamic. Like,
thing.
Yeah.
Hey, lady.
Come here,
how are you?
Yeah. But yeah, okay. Any other thoughts on worldly leadership before I move on to... And I think we kind of already talked about the kingdom leadership, but any other thoughts on kingdom leadership too, or... Okay. Yeah, move out.
Oh wait, you said kingdom leadership?
Yeah. Godly
the greatest
leadership.
Should be like the youngest.
Yeah, that's another one. So
it's like, saying, like, none of you are above each other. Everybody's
mm-hmm.
not the same bubble.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
interesting. It still uses
the
qualification of traitors. But yeah, it basically puts her as the, you know, the greatest among you will be like the youngest. The, you know, you're gonna serve the other people. Like, yeah.
I'm just, I don't know. It just made me feel like it was telling me to like think mentally that like even the youngest person could be the greatest, or you should
mm-hmm.
be like the youngest person. I'm like, I don't know. It's just like.
Yeah.
Put yourself in their shoes.
That's exactly
yeah, I mean,
what
like,
I was thinking.
You know,
what, you know.
Like, parallel story, but, like, you know, there is that instance where Jesus literally picks up a little kid and says, this is the greatest, you know, you need to be like this little child to be the greatest in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of kind of a good example that I can think of from modern life is we talked about when people were answering, like, what is leader is someone who can do, like, is in the trenches with you and can do the thing. I was thinking about at my work that our leadership is very high level. Like, they're very bird's eye view, very strategy focused, which doesn't bother me because I know what I'm doing. But I realize a lot of our struggling teachers have had a really hard time because there's not been anyone like showing them what to do. Like I am of the opinion as a teacher because I've been doing it, I'm like, just leave me alone. Like that's what I most want. Like just leave me alone. But like struggling teachers, and there was someone who was fired because her observations weren't what
I know who you're talking about.
Good
enough. Up to level. Or
yes, something. But like they never came in and said like this is what you need to do to
right.
build your like this is what we want to see you work on here. Let me show you.
Right.
So there
yeah.
was none of that, and it's very. I would not say our leaders are super authoritarian or anything.
Right.
But I do know there is a very big distance. Like our current principal
tools.
Does not have a presence in the building.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. They're
like,
not giving you the tools you need to.
Yes.
They're giving you a metric, but not giving you the tools to get there.
Yeah. So when people are talking about like servant leadership, like and stuff like that, sometimes like servant leadership, like Jesus did, like he talks about serving is. Showing, he's like, go and do likewise.
Mm.
Like, he's not sitting there like, all right, my hero, go do this. He's
uh-huh.
showing up and he's demonstrating. And I think that's really important. And it didn't even hit me because I definitely prefer leaders that are high level, like, as a personal level, just like that's my personality.
Yeah.
But, like, people who are struggling need people who are going to show up and be like, we need to do it like this.
Yeah. Jennifer and then Kelly.
Maybe the thing is, too, this is spiritual leadership. It is not leadership of the government. He's going to judge from this leadership, the 12 tribes. You know, so I don't know that we need to... Our focus should be on the spiritual part of it, and that's why we keep going back to the serving, and that everyone is equal. No one is better than the other person. And that's the ideal. I don't think we can go to dictator, because he does say that kings and kingdoms are going to pass away. And those are going to be the kings and kingdoms that don't follow God, you know. So I think, to me, that it's not a power, you know, it's not the figurehead or the president or a dictator or, you know, what do you call the guy in North Korea?
Dictator.
Yeah, you know, okay. So it's like, I don't know that that's the kingdom or the power to stop it.
Well, I mean, he, you know, again, we are talking, you know, you're right to some extent, which is, I mean,
that's worldly leadership.
Like, you're talking, this is talking kingdom leadership versus worldly leadership.
Kingdom of heaven.
Kingdom of heaven,
That's what we mean.
Kingdom
of
heaven, sorry, kingdom of heaven. Though I definitely, you know, we talked about all these issues that, you know, at the beginning we talked about so many negative ways that people do leadership. And because even as much as it is spiritual leadership, there is a fact that within the church on our world, there is leadership. And we need to fight against it being worldly leadership, but it can and does happen. And my observation is that position of servant leadership, when we're talking about all this, it's not necessarily... this is a management plan that but it does avoid a lot of the problem, or at least, yeah.
Okay.
It's
in juxtaposition to the worldly leadership concept of they call themselves benefactors.
Yeah.
I was thinking that the word confer or conferred was used. And I was like, oh, I wonder what confer means. And so I Googled it. And it says to grant or bestow.
Okay.
And I was all like, therefore, that was given to you. So
yeah.
It was something that was earned or provided to you by someone else. It's
given.
Not,
yeah.
It's not something that you put on yourself.
Yeah. 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 It's not something that you grab. It was given.
Yeah, so I thought that was
an
interesting
parallel.
And not elected. You weren't elected.
Do you want
to
go for a walk?
We got it. We're going to have to cut some of y'all short, just FYI.
Okay.
You're going the wrong way.
Oh, I'm not going the wrong way. Okay. Real quick. Closing thoughts before I move on from this. Okay. Okay, so now we're going to get a little bit real. Leadership in church and in message. So kind of talking to what you were talking about, you know, there's a spiritual thing, but there's also, you're leading people, you know, and, you know, as, you know, this applies to outside the church too, but I know there are people who have experienced bad leadership in church and been hurt by people in leadership in church. I don't know if anybody would like to share, but I'll kind of go first a little bit. I know, like, I've been kicked out of my organization once because, like, I didn't 100%, you know, agree with some stuff, and I asked the wrong question at the wrong time, and a couple weeks later was asked to leave. Yeah. But leadership in church can get messy. I don't know if anybody else wants to share anything, but yes, Jen.
And sometimes it's not only like church, but also like religious cults. A lot of them protect the predators.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Will, like, I watched this, I know this is unrelated, but I watched this girl on YouTube and she was in a polygamist cult.
Yeah.
And there, they protect the predators, and they also get outsiders to help them, too.
I would say they protect the person in power, which is
yeah.
usually
yeah.
a predator,
yeah.
but
yeah.
they protect the leader.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They do protect the leader at all. And like, we don't even just see that in cults.
Yeah. That,
we have seen that in denominations. We have seen, like,
yeah.
the Catholic Church, the Southern Baptist Church.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's every, like, those are the big ones I know of just because of they were more publicized.
Yeah.
But I know every denomination has their thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, they protect people. They protect the person, they protect the image of the church
yeah.
more than the people in the church.
And
yeah.
even if they, you know, they'll often downplay even if they don't completely ignore.
Yes.
Destiny, you had something
yeah. to say? I was just going to say, like, when I came here, well, we went to a Vine Life, we all know that one. But before that, I went to Grace, and Grace Baptist Church in Pasadena. And they changed leadership. They, right now, they don't have a pastor. It's like they keep out rotating people who to stay. But there was so much
like hatefulness and judgment in there, and I'll never forget that. Just all being in a church where I just felt like I got invited to a dinner from the new youth pastor, and we all went to dinner, and I was the only one. I was married to their dad and everything, and stuff, but. At the time, I was a teen mom, and I had, like, just got married. I was, like, a year old, so I got married after I had him, of course. And I went to this dinner, and this youth pastor, he was a new pastor, he was trying to get to know all of us. I was only, like, 19, and he was like, but, so he gets us, mom's talking, I'm talking. So he gets,
I'm not
going
anywhere.
Here. I'm going to
meet
you. In a minute. But anyways,
you want me to take you into the children's room?
You want her to take you?
Oh,
very good job.
I'll go with you.
She's cute.
Thank you. I'm surprised how good she's doing. But I just remember being in there, and he's asking like all of the youth kids questions, like, and I'm not talking about Lonnie. This is who took Lonnie's place. His name was Andy, and he's asking all of us questions just about like where we come from, who are we, and this was a dinner that like the whole church was at. And it gets to be my turn. And he was like, well, you had, he was like, so you had a baby before you got married? And I was like, yeah, yeah, he's right here. And, then he was like, well, wow, I don't even know why he said this. He was like, how would you feel if his dad had a baby before you? I said, he did. He was 3 years old. And I was, and he was dumbfounded. He was like, and I was like, yeah, so I'm never going to come back here.
Yeah.
And then that was that. And I was born into that church and this and that, but because of the way that they made me feel,
yeah.
No. So now I came here.
I would say that, like, a lot of times churches, one of the reasons I feel like it gets messy is churches can expect perfection.
Yeah, it's a lot of
from both their the person that they put on a pedestal, if they do put someone on a pedestal, or from volunteers. Like, when you talked about you asked the wrong question at the right wrong time,
yeah.
It's not about are we seeking Jesus together, it's about are we all uniformed and aligned, and that's what we call unity a lot in churches. And I know I have seen, and it took me too long to recognize it, but, like, you know, talking about, like, are we unified really is, like, being used as a, are we all in line? Are we all in, are we all going to hold the line? Versus, like, we can be unified in our support for Jesus, but disagree on other things.
Yeah.
And I think that is, it's hard, right? I would not say that most people do not go into pastoral roles to be, a, like, there is definitely, and especially in nowadays churches, right, the average pastor is not a mega millionaire. I know we have some, like, who raise tons of money and, like, they are definitely taking advantage of people and giving. I 100% believe that. But the reality is we don't have a lot of pastors. Pastors are dying out and not a lot of people are picking up because it's a hard job. But we do sometimes expect too much of a leader. One of the things that I think that happens, and it's one of the reasons this church does things so differently, is in Ephesians it talks about, you know, you should have pastors, you should have teachers, you should have evangelists, you should have prophets, right, and all these things. And then the American church, and I'm sure other places, but I only feel confident talking about the American church, was like, you know what, let's just make one person do it all. Like, that sounds like a great idea. And that's where I think, like, a lot of it falls apart right there. So, anyway, Kelly.
So my dad's church, love like how they deliver the message of, you know, Jesus and the Bible and everything. There's some really nice people there. It's just that, like, so for the Bridge fundraiser, I did ask my dad, hey, would the church like to, like, could you ask the pastor? And he said, well, what is this about? And I was, like, trying to explain to him about, like, all the different churches, trying to, you know, help the community and everything. And this is that I guess, stage to be able to do it. And he was all like, well, we have to be careful about who we affiliate ourselves with. And I was just like, what? I literally just told you.
Yeah.
That it's for, like.
Yeah.
And Bridges.
I'm just like, I don't understand why that would even be a question. I guess
theology a lot of times too, like, it's an interfaith organization.
Like, he was like, what
so.
Do you know about the other churches and all this other stuff? I'm just like, I just know the generic thing that it's a bunch of churches trying to make a difference in the community.
Yeah.
In Maryland. Wow.
And I was
just like, is that not enough for you?
Yeah.
And I don't even know if he got to ask. I did ask him to ask, but I don't know if he did. Because he didn't, the way he asked me, he just didn't seem like he felt secure in it. And if he did ask, then obviously there was nothing from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just like, oh, sad. But, yeah, I see where leadership can get messy. Like, who you want to affiliate yourself with,
right,
and stuff like that. It's like, we're all in this together. High School Musical.
I can't hear that without starting to say
going a little more general.
Yeah, we got to move on.
And I think we talked about this a little bit, but one or two things that jump out at you that haven't really been covered that can make leadership in a church getting messy.
Hold on. I
think in a lot of scenarios with leadership, it's not necessarily a personal relationship. Like, in work, you have, like, leadership, but there doesn't have to be a personal relationship. But in church, there kind of has to be a personal relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes it makes for messy scenarios.
It can. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, I'm just gonna. This is the list I came up with, and I think everybody kind of touched on this, but we are definitely running out of time. So, expectations, both the church on the people and the people on the church. Ego is a huge one. The relational context, which is kind of what you were talking about. Like, in a church setting, you are more vulnerable to somebody. And if, you have friendships, and then if there's disagreements, especially with leaders, for better or for worse, the table is very intermeshed. Which is one of the things I like about it, but also, that can be a minefield when you're, which introduces some power dynamic of, on Wednesday you're my friend, on Sunday you're my master, and there's a lot of, hack switching. But, do you have a thought? Or?
I want to finish. I was, not trying to interrupt you.
Cool. Just when it comes to churches, there's a lot of things that just make it a little more potentially messy than it might even be in a less personal, less vulnerable leadership type position.
I would also say, kind of goes with ego and inconsistent power dynamics,
mm-hmm.
but I think the other thing that makes it is it's too easily abused.
Mm-hmm.
I know we talk about, we have talked about sexual abuse and different things in the church, but, spiritual abuse is also, big, and, I am grateful I've never experienced that, but when I've talked to a friend who has, that
mm-hmm.
is crippling. And I think... that is also what can make it messy, and it kind of goes in with all of that because, you trust your pastor on a very deep level,
mm-hmm.
hopefully, and hopefully they're worthy of that trust. But
mm-hmm.
it that spiritual abuse can kill your soul.
Yeah, absolutely. What are ways we can do leadership well? And we're going to have to do really quick. I'm just going to skip ahead and do this. I thought of humility, communication, accountability, and empowerment. I'm sure there are other things, but this is the things I can think of, and we're running out of time. Yes?
I'm going to say real quick, self-accountability matters too.
Yes.
Yes.
Because I feel like so often we want other people to hold us accountable. and we want someone else to say, that's okay.
Yep.
And we have to be able to hold ourselves accountable. And it's one of those things that I think doesn't get talked about enough.
Yeah.
And it's something I'm very passionate about. And to quote Steve Rogers, I know this gets taken, as arrogant, but he says the safest hands are our own. And I really feel like what he's talking about right there is, we have to hold ourselves accountable, because if we let someone else hold us accountable, we can't trust what they're going to use us for. And I just really feel when we talk about leadership, you have to lead yourself first. You have to lead yourself first.
Yeah.
And that's so, so important, and something we don't talk about a lot.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you have to lead yourself first.
Kelly?
Can I just echo that?
Yeah.
My dad had me watch a movie on Netflix. It's really good. You guys should watch it. It's called Rob Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Rob
Peace.
Rob Peace. It was Rob, but actually it's an individual's name.
Okay.
Mm.
And it's based on a real life story. And basically it was about this guy who grew up in a rough neighborhood, and his father got put in jail,
mm-hmm.
and about the trajectory of how that set his life.
Yeah.
And the underlying message, I walked away with it, dang, this is sad. Trigger warning, it's a sad story, but it's a beautiful, sad story. But it's about, my dad was still did you see what's going on with this, and how his parents, each of their dynamics worked and stuff like that. And I was all I said something in the beginning. I said, you can't control anything but yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't control yourself first, you can't reach back to help someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's so important.
Yeah.
You have to lead yourself first, and you have to lead yourself well.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So
cool. And move on, just time. But, just kind of going really fairly rapid fire through. Cultivate humility, very much what the Bible passage was talking about. Communication, that whole expectation thing. Communication caused a lot of issues.
I love communication. So beautiful. So my coworkers.
I like it when communication is also hard.
Yes.
I love it and I hate. I have a love hate relationship with communication. Because I like the idea of communication. The starting the conversation is the hard part. This is a hard topic. I don't want to talk about it. When's a good time to talk about it?
Yeah.
Or this meeting could have been an email. But but other thoughts on communication before we move on.
We're good.
Okay. Accountability. And I feel Katie talked a lot good about this, but you know, you want people self-accountability and
people. You need it, like,
yeah.
You need both, because sometimes you are just wrong. Like,
yeah.
Right? And you don't know you're wrong.
Or you have blind spots.
That, like,
or, yeah.
Right? And like, so you need both. But I the reason I mention this is, like, I think too often we want to outsource our accountability. It's the whole, I was only following orders, right? Like, and like, that, and I guess it scares me more, especially the time we're living in, but the whole, like, I'm only following orders, or we are very quick to be like, oh, well, they said it's okay.
Right.
And it's like, we have to hold ourselves accountable,
yeah.
And then put people who hold themselves accountable in your life to be accountability partners.
And
don't just find
your
yes men.
Like,
don't just find yes men.
Like, that
matters.
Like,
yeah.
It won't end well.
Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah.
And empowerment. And we kind of talked about this when we were talking about, like, giving, you know, preparing to step down and other things for leadership. But it's also, I feel that, you know, similar to accountability, there's self-empowerment and there's, you know, empowering others when you're in a leadership position, which is, there is, you know, a lot of people have good ideas, and not everything can be done. But when there's a good idea, I'm losing track of thought. But basically, in good leadership, you should be able to listen to people's ideas and empower them to make that happen. And, you know, if you're just telling people what to do, they're going to be disempowered. I'm not finding good work for this. Does anybody Kelly?
I think that it kind of echoes on what we were talking about earlier. I think that the moniker of not just a good leader, but like a great leader,
mm-hmm.
would be in the passing of the baton,
mm-hmm.
the like kind of empowerment of others to continue to make your empower them to be more powerful themselves so that it can be contagious and can spread.
Yeah, yeah. And actually,
so that they can go out and create more leaders.
Yeah, and like kind of what Kay was kind of lacking of giving people the tools to get where they need to do,
yeah.
and do their job.
Not just doing it for
mm-hmm.
them, but like
yeah.
actually showing them
or
how to survive.
Yeah.
How, like, leading a horse to water and trying to make it drink is one thing, but like teaching a man how to fish so he
yeah.
can feed himself for the rest of his life is another.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and it's a confidence. And I think we have to have confidence in our leaders. And I think that's not one word that was brought up when we talked about leaders.
Yeah.
Nor was humility, which I think is
we
a
talked about humility.
Yeah,
we'll side on cultivate humility.
But anyway, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what you're doing. You just changed everything that this is showing.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know. I'm just going to click on that. Hopefully that works.
That worked.
Okay. but yeah, what you're saying about, like, confidence and having trust. Trust is an essential part of leadership.
And empowering people. It's an intrinsic, like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a mutual...
You're right, yeah.
You
yeah
have,
right.
Like, you can't empower people unless
if
you
trust them. If they
don't trust
you, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're saying, my door's always open and it's not actually... Or you're all... You know, like, if people don't... People like to talk the empowerment game more than they make it available.
Yes.
They feel threatened, that's why.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Uh-oh. You don't. Okay, final thoughts before wrapping up. Any questions, comments, concerns? Okay. Kamari, you are a leader. You have power. You need to be reliable with it.
Yes.
a little bit of simplification there, but yeah. For application, pick one of the following. Basically, that you can work on humility, communication, accountability, or empowerment, and find a chance to encounter exercise it throughout the week.